We will be in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21, it says, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise the child, so this would be 8 days after Jesus was born, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rite required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your soul too. Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant, in Leviticus chapter 2 says to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she's unclean during her monthly period. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. So 8 days after Jesus was born, they took him to be circumcised, which is what the law says to do. So even everything you'll notice as we go through this passage, everything that Joseph and Mary do, they do to fulfill the law or to fulfill what the Old Testament tells them to do. The Lord never condoned or required or wanted sees as an abomination human sacrifice. Never wanted that, never desired it. It's always pagan type things, idolatry type things that do that. But God always emphasized child dedication. Samuel, you can go through the whole Bible where God wanted parents to bring their children to dedicate them to him. That's part of the reason we have child dedication. Is that what God requires or what God desires? Though, now, according to Leviticus 12:4 says, when a woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding, she must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the day of purification are over. So 8 days after Jesus was born, they took him to be circumcised. Almost 6 weeks after Jesus was born, they bring him for this ceremony, a dedication ceremony that we're talking about. So God gave a period of time for the woman to heal up, for the woman to be seen as clean, and then they would bring the child, if it was a son, to the temple in this amount of days. Whenever they got there, well, let's look at Luke 2:24 first, or starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it's time to circumcise the child, he named him Jesus. And then when the time came, so there, if you're not careful, you could overlook. This is two different times, okay? When the time came for the purification rites, that's almost 6 weeks after he was born, they took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. There's other verses in there for girls. But this, and the amount of time that was to take, when they were to take him, is all prescribed there in the scriptures for us. In verse Leviticus 12:8 says, if she cannot afford a lamb, she's to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering. And this way the priest will make an atonement for her and she will be clean. So in verse Luke 2:24, to keep a sacrifice, to offer a sacrifice and keep in what's said in the law, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So according to what we just read, who's being pronounced clean? Mary is. To do that, they offer a sacrifice to the Lord. In 8 days, they come and dedicated the child to the Lord, and now they're offering a sacrifice to the Lord to be ceremonially pronounced clean. Are we ready? Are y'all all with me so far? What were they supposed to bring if they could afford it? A lamb or a sheep. What did they bring? Did they bring those because they were cheap? Because they just didn't want to provide something that cost a lot for what they were doing? Why did they bring two turtle doves or two pigeons? Huh? It's all they could afford. They didn't have anything else. That was the cheapest. How would you say that? That was the least expensive offering that you could give. Okay. Now, we're not told this exactly, but I get the feeling that even that was hard for them to come up with. Okay? So, just thinking logically, Mary and Joseph knew who Jesus was, right? I mean, they had these visits from angels. She was a virgin. She had this child. They knew that he was the Messiah. He was the Savior of Israel. They knew that, right? So, why go through all of this stuff? Just thinking logically. The law. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Right? So everything that was written in the Old Testament about Jesus, they were going to perform. Right? So how many of you have dedicated your children to the Lord? When you did that, what was going through your mind? What was your desire, your hope, or your purpose when you did that? Say it again. That's pretty good. I like that. Did that work? Did you dedicate Rodney? It didn't work. God gave it right back and said, I gave him to you. Now you got to do your part. There you go. That's good. So when you dedicated them, was part of it not thankfulness? Part of it not, help me out. Huh? Relief? gratitude. And saying, so when you dedicated your child, who were you really dedicating? Yourself. So when they came at the 8th day and at around 6 weeks, they were, even though they had been picked by God to be the earthly parents of his son, they were committing themselves, were they not, to this to this ministry, task, endeavor. That's what we do when we dedicate a child. Okay? Now, when they get to the temple, there's a guy there named Simeon. Simeon is a very interesting man. Now, remember, none of the New Testament's been written. None of it. The only verses, the only passages that they know, the only Bible they know is the Old Testament. And Simeon, most of what Simeon says and believes come from the Old Testament. Most of what he quotes and says. However, there's some parts of it that he receives directly from God. Now, when Simeon was alive, the Bible hadn't been written. God obviously was still speaking to people. So he was being led directly by the Holy Spirit, it says, to say some of these things that he said and to understand what was going on. So let's look at this. In verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for Jesus to be born, the Messiah to be born. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Notice the preposition. It's what? On. It's not in. The reason the Holy Spirit was not in him is that Pentecost did not yet come. Jesus hadn't lived our life. He hadn't died for our sins. He wasn't buried. He wasn't raised again. He hadn't ascended to the Father. The Holy Spirit hadn't come. When the Holy Spirit came 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, he indwelled people permanently for the first time. But the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. Okay? So, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now, the fact that he was there waiting, he could have known from the Old Testament that it was time, right? But I believe he knew both from the Old Testament and from direct revelation from the Holy Spirit that it was time. So he's there waiting on them to show up. Did you ever catch that? That's what he's doing. He was waiting for them to come. Is that not interesting? So whenever we were all with our family celebrating Christmas last Monday, Mary had given birth to the Savior of the world. Hopefully all of you had a great time with your family and had it. Wednesday, this coming Tuesday, I guess, would be 8 days since Jesus was born. They would have brought him to the temple. Around 6 weeks from the time he was born, when would that be?
Middle of February,
they bring him to the temple for this purification rite. Simeon is waiting on him. Okay? So sometime in the middle of February, y'all keep this in mind, Mary and Joseph takes Jesus and Simeon is there. Now, look at this. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was going to be alive when Jesus came. That's what it had been revealed to him.
That's a big deal because in 1 Peter doesn't say that the prophets and angels even long to look into the time that Jesus will appear. He's
yeah.
The guy that it was revealed to.
To go along with what Jordan is saying, the Bible said he was just and devout. So who did God pick to give this revelation or to give this message to Mary and Joseph? Just any old guy off the street? A just and devout person. If you want to be used by God, y'all get it? We have to be able to be used, prepared to be used, willing to be used. Simeon was. He was because he had made that choice, he had made that decision, he had made that commitment in his life to be at the point where God was going to use him here. Look at verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, so why did he go do what he's doing now? He was directly moved by the Spirit. Can we be moved by the Spirit today? Yes, if we're willing. Does the Holy Spirit indwell people who have accepted Jesus Christ today? And does the Holy Spirit move us and guide us based on what? When we let him, but he'll guide us according to what we know from the Word, from the Bible. He will directly, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll take what I've said and show it unto you. So now the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God as we study it and as we bring it into our life, as we put it in our heart, as it becomes a part of who we are, and the Holy Spirit moves us based on that. Right? So it says the Holy Spirit moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. So not only was he there waiting, the Holy Spirit at one point said, okay, they're here. Go on in, right? Is that what that says? They're here. It's time to do what the law says to do. So Simeon takes this baby in his arms. Well, 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So how do we get Scripture? How did we get Scripture? God revealed to a prophet and inspired them to speak it or to write it down, and now we have it. They were moved, carried along, told what to say by the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit enlightens us or illumines us of what God wants to do. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to say the things that he's going to say here. So nothing from God starts out with us. It's not our will. It's not our words. Another verse I could have put in there says, nothing in the Bible is of our own interpretation. That's called eisegesis. That's mean making the Bible say what you want it to say. What we're supposed to do is use exegesis, which is study what God meant when he said it. Does that make sense? What do most people want to do today? They want to do the other. They want to say, well, yeah, that's to me, that says this. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's to you or somebody. It says what God says it says. And we're to study and find out what God says. And it's just as sure as if we were Simeon and the Holy Spirit is directly moving us through that word as it was to Simeon that day. Are y'all with me? And it's wrong to go and try to make it. How many times has somebody said to you, well, you can make the Bible say what you want. I can make it say what. Yeah, sure you can. You can make anything say what you want. But you can also study it and find out what God meant when he said it. And that's what this says that we're to do. And that's what Simeon is about to do here, is to say what God wants him to say. Now, in verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. Wouldn't that have been neat to be Simeon? To know this already, to know what you were doing, to be able to hold the Savior in the world. Katie went and took these babies away from these ladies a while ago to be able to hold. There's something about holding a baby, right? Just love it. Imagine getting to hold Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing if that was Jesus and you were? Wouldn't that blow your mind? It blows your mind anyway, kind of, just until they start burping and doing other things. Then you want to. But he gets to hold Jesus. He gets to hold the Savior of the world. He's about 6 weeks old at this time. To me, that just, it just blows me away. In effect, it says he praised God. What do you think he did? What do you think he said? We don't tell us exactly all he says there. What would you do?
I think I'd be speechless.
Think you'd be speechless? That would be the first time. <I'm kidding. laughs> Yeah, I can see that. You know, that one of the songs we sang said, I don't know whether we'll just remain silent or what we'll do. But you might not just be able to say anything. It might just blow you away. Or you might just start praising God in some way.
Fall on your knees, try not to drop the baby.
Yeah. And then look what he says. This is what he says. Sovereign Lord. Y'all like that word? What's Simeon acknowledging?
He's creator and ruler of the universe.
He's sovereign. He's God. He's boss. He's Lord. Huh? He's got the right to do whatever you want. You're sovereign. Lord, you're sovereign. As you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. What's he saying? Let me die now. Huh? It's complete now. I mean, what's left? And wouldn't that be kind of how you would feel? What's left? I don't know how old he was, but he'd been waiting, I don't know for how long, for Mary and Joseph to show up with Jesus. Now Mary and Joseph have showed up with Jesus, and he has in his arms, and he looks at him and praises God, and he said, okay, there's nothing left here. Take me home. Look, he says, as you have promised. What's he saying? You promised me I wouldn't die before Jesus come, but he's now. I'm ready. What did Paul say? I have a desire to go and be with God, right? It may be more needful that I'm here for a while, but my desire is to go and be with God, right? Shouldn't we get there? God, you're sovereign. As long as you got a use for me, use me. God, you're sovereign. As long as you got a use for me, I want to be used. But when you get through with me, shouldn't we be there? Right? So he's praising God. He's reminding God of his promise to, okay, God, now we can go on. Right? Look at this. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. You know something you have that Simeon never had? Something every Christian has that Simeon never had? Huh? The Holy Spirit inside us, which is what how we think of as being saved. Was he right with God? Yes. John the Baptist is kind of the same thing, right? They're referred to as friends of the Father. Did you know that? We're the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ. So he says, but I've seen salvation. I know what it is. It's in that boy. Right there. That's salvation. We want to make it about religion. We want to make it about churches having to do certain rituals and us having to go through certain religious things. Those things have nothing to do with salvation. Those things are because we're saved. We're going to do communion. We're going to do communion because Jesus came into this world, lived our life, died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And before he did that, he instituted this ordinance and told us to observe it. That don't do anything as far as making us right with God. That bringing your baby up and dedicating yourself to raising them the way God wants to don't make you right with God. You get made right with God because Jesus was born into this world. Does that make sense? That's what Simeon said. I've seen your salvation. Simeon didn't need to do anything else. There was not one religious thing that was required of him except believe that Jesus was his salvation. Is that not right? That's it. Okay? Look at this. Which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. This is important that you grasp this part. This is neat. In Isaiah 52:10, it says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Who all will see salvation? All the ends of the earth. In 2:32, it says that, quoting the Old Testament, Simeon set a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your Lord people. So Jesus is for all people. It doesn't matter what nationality, what ethnicity, what language, anything you come from. Jesus is your salvation if you're going to be saved. And there's no one else. Right? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's no one else. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. He's talking about Israel. Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49:6, he says, it's a small thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. What is his salvation? What did Simeon see? Jesus, I've seen your salvation. He said, I've seen the salvation that you talked about being a light to the ends of the earth. I've seen it. Okay? Luke 2:33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. What? Did they know already? Did they know already who he was? Yes. But I think they were still grasping everything too. I think when Simeon quoted all these Old Testament verses, they marveled. And just like looking at that baby right there. Imagine looking at that baby and thinking, that baby is going to be the salvation of the entire world. Wouldn't you kind of marvel? Take that baby, is what he said. Look at verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and be a sign that will be spoken against. What's he warning there?
The cross is coming.
The cross is coming. All the opposition that would come because of who he was. And Jesus, just before he was crucified, looked out over Jerusalem and he said, you who kill the prophets and stones those sent to you, how often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. That's what he was talking about. And that was fulfilled about 33 years later. Okay? Look at this. Talking about Israel. If their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, they've been rejected as a people for the period of time that God's taken out a people for him out of the Gentiles, but he will come back and work with them again. That's what that's saying. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your soul also. And he was talking about what Mary would have to do, had to endure seeing Jesus on the cross. Let's go back. There was also a woman named Anna there. I put that in there in case I had time to talk about her, but I don't. We're going to do this totally different than I've ever done before, but I want everything else out of the way before we do it. So let's stand. We're going to receive our tithe and offering and do the announcements. And then I'll tell you what's coming next.